Okay, looks, it looks good. What happened? Oh, Rasisa Lila. Okay, just one second. I have to adjust. I'm still not used to wearing glasses. You have to clean them all the time. Okay, there's a Gemara. It's not on the sheet. There's a Gemara in Tanis. And the Gemara says this, Ta'anit, I'll say Ta'anit, because I want to align myself politically. The Gemara in Ta'anit says, this, that Av is a time, the month of Av is a time of unhappiness. And then the Braita says, Mishenichnatz Adar, Ma'abim v'simcha. I imagine everybody has heard that someplace or other, but it's in the Gemara. It's the Gemara in Ta'anit. Rashi says, why? Why mishenichnas adar ma'abim v'simcha? What's the big deal, Adar? So Rashi says, Yenei nisim hayu l'Yisrael. These days, the days, I guess, of Adar, are miraculous days for Yisrael. And then, Rashi says, Purim u'Pesach. Purim u'Pesach. Now, let's assume that the Girsa is correct. Purim Pesach, even Rashi must have known that Pesach didn't come out in Adar, but Pesach came out in Nisan. So why would Rashi say, Bishenichnas Adar Ma'abim Bisimcha, that means Purim and Pesach. Purim is true, Purim is in Adar, and Pesach is in Nisan. But what possible connection could there be between Purim and Pesach? Besides which, we know that Purim is a day of overwhelming joy, right, which was translated by the Jewish tradition into inebriation. Now, whatever you say about it, it is written in the Gemara and repeated in the Shulchan Aruch. Chayav Adar Levisume, a person is obliged to get drunk. Adelo Yoda, Bein Arur Haman, LeBaruch Mordechai. Until you cannot distinguish between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And I can tell you from personal experience that you have to be pretty drunk. It's not just like being shaky or walking a crooked line when you think you're walking straight, but to get to the point where you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, that is really an achievement. That is an achievement. So, I mean, however it came down, you know that everybody knows the problems about getting drunk. You can't daven mincha, you can't say Birkat HaMazon straight, you can't do all the mitzvot together. It doesn't fit in to the Jewish conception of itself. Like, the people's conception of themselves is that we don't get drunk. Quite the contrary. Anachnu mot schal taniyim. You know, we're very intelligent and intellectual about things. So that's how we should celebrate a yontif. By talking about it, by talking Torah. Right? There is a drasha that I saw. You know, the Megillah says, La'ihudim ha'ita orah v'simcha v'sason v'ikar. Right? Some people think that was invented in Havdalah, but no. It's in the Megillah. In Megillah Esther. La'ihudim ha'ita, already I'm in the spirit of Purim, you see. La'ihudim ha'ita orah. Orah is a Torah. Orah, let's look at the drush of Chazal. So people say, listen, before you get drunk and eat the meal on Purim and, you know, like go off, say a little Torah, you know, just to make sure that we all know that you're Jewish. So you say a little Torah before the Suda. Now, what I want to talk about, having introduced these two matters, One is the Rashi in Ta'anit that says, we're happy in Adar because of Purim and Pesach. And secondly, the idea that the happiness of Purim is extraordinary in the Jewish sense. After all, the Torah says three times that we should be happy on Sukkot. Then Sukkot becomes the model of happiness, a Jewish happiness. You want to be happy? Be Sukkot. Be, run around from Sukkah to Sukkah and take a little drink of wine here and a little drink of wine there. But to get drunk? You imagine somebody saying, let's all go get drunk on Sukkot because getting drunk is the way it should go. I never heard such a thing. So this idea that simcha and drunkenness has something to do with each other is unique, after all, to Purim. And what does it have to do with Purim? So you have to remind you now. There are three seudot in Purim, mentioned in the Megillah. Three seudot. So we'll look at them in the text that you have. Va'ibi me'a chashriyosh v'chashriyosh v'molech me'hodu v'yadkush sheva v'esrimu me'a mitina. Everything in Megillah that's there is very interesting. But we have to focus on what we're interested in, right? We can't explain every pasuk. But I assume you've seen all of these psukim. בימים ההם כשבת המלך אחשוורוש על כיסא מלכותו אשר בשושן הבירה, בשנת שלוש למלכו עשה משתה לכל שריו ועבדיו, חיל פרס ומדי הפרטמים ושרי המדינות לפניו. So אחשוורוש made this party. And it was apparently noteworthy. בהראותו את עושר כבוד מלכותו ותיקר את תפארת גדולתו, ימים רבים שמונים ומעט, you imagine that, a party that went on for 180 days. I mean, he needed a lot of stamina to participate. That's what they do to the President of the United States, right? On the day of his inauguration, he has to go to a lot of parties to see if he's strong enough to bear the burden of the presidency. So go to all the parties and you eat something, drink something, dance a little, so that proves that you are, made for the presidency. But 180 days. Another party in Shushan, a 7-day party, right? Shivat yamim chatzar ginat bitan hamelech. Chol kapasut chelet achuz mechabibutz v'agaman gulei kesef amudei sheish bitot zahav chesef aritzbat bat v'sheish v'davet zacher. Very fancy, very classy. Whatever classy meant, or whatever fancy meant, that was the party that Ahasuerosh made in Shushan. These were the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash that he took out because he wanted to show them his finest. Right? Like people do that today also. Somebody taught me once, you go to somebody's house and they put out that fancy-looking crockery on tables, but each one has a little bit of water in it, because they don't want you to turn it over and find out that it was made in Walmart or something, So I always remember that. I'll go to somebody's house, always check to see if there's water in those little dishes or not. Otherwise, you're supposed to turn it over and say, oh, wow. The stuff that you accumulate in your head in a lifetime, it's absolutely remarkable, It makes no sense at all, like what you retain and what you forget. I said that's like the main educational problem with children. You ask a child, who was the lead, a child, he's 10 years old, you say, who's the lead drummer in the Pink Floyd who died of an overdose? And he'll tell you. He'll tell you right away. Well, he won't even think. And you say to the same kid, what Mishnayot did you learn yesterday? Blank. Blank, they don't know. They don't know. So learning is only about motivation. That's what it is. I mean, if you want to learn it, you're going to learn it. Because the kids obviously have the talent. How do you get that? How do you get them motivated? You have an answer? You remember what? These kids never saw the Pink Floyd in their lives. an emotional, whatever it is. They just know it. They're things you know. They're things you know because it's worthy. You know, like you want to know it, so you know it. So here is the first party. And the last pasuk says, Vashtiyah kadak ein ones. And you know that Chazal were unhappy about Hashtiyah kadak. They were unhappy. And they said that here the Jews went to this party, and they were with them. They were in this hotbed of idolatry, and they were part of Hashtiyah kadak ein ones. So the first party is an accusation. It contains an accusation against the Jews who lived in Shushan HaBirah. So what you would think? You would think that the accusation against the Jews because they were drinking too much at the party that Hashverosh made would be celebrated by Am Yisrael forever after by getting drunk. I mean, does that make any sense? Purim should have been the holiday of abstinence. Should have like a thing. You take your bottles of scotch and you put them on the wall. You say, I'm not going to come near. That's what Purim should be. Because that was the sin of Bnei Yisrael in Shushan. They drank. They went to the party. Okay. Anyway, that's how the story starts. And this story sort of ends. Pasuk Tet, Gam Vashtiyah Malkah, Tzitah Mishtei Nashim, Beit HaMalchut Asher HaMelech HaChashverosh. Beit HaMalchut Asher HaMelech HaChashverosh. The second party. All right, the second source is just Chazal say that the refuah was prepared before the makkah in the story of Esther. That first Esther Hamalka was chosen. And then she saved the something bad happened to Am Yisrael, and she saved the Jewish people, so that this pasuk in Perek Bet. Achar adraim ha'eile kishol chamatam melech ha'shveyosh, zachar dvashti v'et asher asata, et asher nigzar oleha. V'aymru nareha melech v'shata, v'yakshu ila melech narot bitulot tovot mare. So it's possible to say, as many of the commentaries say, that Ahasuerus must have been drunk. If he hadn't been drunk, he would never have done that. This whole story with Vashti is very odd. But Chazal had to fill in a lot of blank spaces, like why didn't she come? And what was it that made Ahasuerus so angry? And so you have to construct some sort of an alternate story, whereas Vashti represents somehow opposition to Ahasuerus, in which he didn't accept his directive. He killed her, but if he had been sober, he would never agree to such a radical step. So now, along comes the Nara HaMelech, and they say to Ahasuerus, look, we're going to solve this problem by finding a queen, and we're going to look for a queen who has no yichus, who's not connected to anybody, who has no power base in the nation. And then Esther, who is the refuah for the makkah, Esther became the obvious choice. I mean, there's no other way to explain. We're not going to go into it. There's no other way to explain the story, to my mind, the story of Esther, the choosing of Esther, except that Esther had qualities that she possessed alone. And those qualities made her the obvious choice for being the queen. It wasn't that she was Jewish, and it wasn't that she was powerful. And it wasn't even, I would imagine, that she was beautiful, which was an irrelevancy. Because beautiful women were available to the king. Right? It wasn't that. She wasn't like a display. But she filled a job. She had a job. She was the queen. But she had no yichus and no strength and did not represent an opposing party to the king, as Vashti apparently did. So she, Esther, was the refuah to the makkah that Haman tried to organize against Bnei Yisrael. Let's go back to the Mishteh. V'tan Esther v'tumah, the next source. She'elati u'vakashesti. Remember, she goes to see Ahasuerosh. She gets dressed up. She, with great fear and trembling, she says, I'm here. And Ahasuerus says, okay, what do you want? Vatan Esther Vatomar She'elati U'Bakashati. אם מצאתי חיים בעיני המלך, אם על המלך טוב, לתת את שאלתי, לעשות את בגשית, יבוא המלך ואמר למשנה שעשה להם, מחר אעשה כדבר המלך. So Esther says, look, I'm willing to answer your question, but I want to do it over food, which is an indication that she realized that she was Jewish. Right? This is called a Jewish meeting, you know, where you make decisions while eating. Vayitzei Haman Bayom Hu Sameach V'Tov Lev. He didn't eat a thing. He didn't drink a thing. Wrote Haman at Mordechai V'Shaar Melech Hukam V'Lozami Mer V'Yemelei Haman Mordechai Chaim. Chaima. In other words, the text of the Megillah tells us that Haman was always oppressed by Mordechai, even when he was happy. Even when he felt that he had achieved a great notoriety, he was invited to this party, but Mordechai continued to bother him for some reason. Okay. Then he went to see whoever he went to see, and he told them whatever he told them. That's the second party. The third party, Perek Zion, ויבוא המלך והמן לשתות עם אסתר המלכה. ויום המלך לאסתר גם מיום השני משתה היין. מה שבמשתה היין? Right? What's משתה היין? It was a משתה. It's not always called משתה היין. Even though משתה comes from the word לשתות. But in our usage of the word, it means, you know, a party. It means getting together. משתה היין means that Yayin played a role in this party that she, Esther, made for Ahasuerus and Haman. Vayom HaMelech Esther Gamil Meshini Meshita Yayin Ma She'elatech Esther Malkam Batinatein Lach Ma Bakashatech Ad Chatzi HaMalchut V'Teyas. Yes, again, the first party, if you look at the previous source, בסוכחת, אם מצאתי חיים בעיני המלך ומלך טוב, לתת את שאלתי ולתת, יבוא המלך והמן על המשתה. You see? פרק ה' פסוק ח'. פרק ה' פסוק ח' על המשתה. But not, the real משתה was משתה היין. The first משתה was without יין. The משתה of אחשוורוש, Hashtiyah kadat ain't no nice. They didn't even remember what the menu was. All they remembered was that they were drinking. Hashtiyah kadat ain't no nice. So there's party number one. Party number two is mishteh. Party number three, where the fate of Haman is sealed, is called mishteh hayai. It's called mishteh hayai. פסוק ג' ותען אסתר המלכה ותאמר אם מצאתי חיים בעיניך המלך ואם המלך טוב תינתן לי נפשי בשאלתי ועמי בקשתי כי נמכרנו אני ועמי להשמיד להרוג לעבד ואילו לעבדים ושפחות נמכרנו איך הרעשתי כי אין הצער שווה בנזק המלך ויאמר המלך אחשוורוש ויאמר אסתר המלכה מי הוא זה ואיזה הוא אשר מלאו ליבו לעשות כן. So we could say אחשוורוש is a tembo. How could he not know? He was in on it, he and Haman. Haman presented him with the idea. And he told him he's going to make a lot of money, so Ahasuerus agreed. So how could Ahasuerus take up and say, me who said they say who? One possibility is Mishteh Hayayin. That Ahasuerus really didn't know what was going on. Mishteh Hayayin. So we have Mishteh number one, Ashtiyah Kadat Ein Ones, which is an accusation against Bnei Yisrael who participated in the party that Ahasuerus made. And party number two for some reason exists, but it's not the party. The party is party number three. And party number three is the party of Mishteh Hayayin. And how could it be that Ahasuerus said, me who said they said who? Where was he for the first act of the second act of this play? He was not there. He was there. He mustn't know what you had when she became queen. Okay, Chazal said he didn't know exactly where she came from, what her yichus was. It's hard to believe that he had no knowledge of that at all. And when Ishi says, Kinim Karnu, Aniva Amishi, he didn't know what they were talking about. How could that be? How could it be that he didn't know what they were talking about? Must have known. Anyway, in order to explain these things, I would like to show you, learn with you, two ktaim from Hasidic writers. Right? The first is Rav Nosson of Nemirov, the Talmud of Rav Nachman of Bratslav. If you look at the second line, he continues, he's talking about Tikkun Chatzot. Tikkun Chatzot, if you own a fat sitter, like one of those old-time traditional fat sidurim, not the new sleek kind of sidurim that are like the short form of the old sitter, not that kind of sitter, but an old-style sitter, you'll see at the beginning, Tikkun Chatzot. Tikkun Chatzot, there were Jews who customarily got up in the middle of the night. Many Jews. So this is all something to do with the Arizal and the Zohar. They were daven. They'd say a few chapters of Tehillim. And for some reason, which we're not going to go into exactly, but which Rav Nosson is going to explain partially, the middle of the night was considered to be a good time for davening. People got up and they davened, and then they drank a cup of cooked tea and went back to sleep. That's how the Jews did it, at least some of the Jews, right? The Jews who were able to live that kind of a life did it. And Chofetz Chaim, said Tikkun Chatzot. They're not so foreign. I mean, it's not just like wackos who do such things like this, but it's like some of the Jews did. The ones who were able to, the ones who felt that they could. So Lof has Rav Nosson, and he's talking about this. And in the second line, he says, starting the second line, after Pichet Zuchim Lizahel Hakum Chatzot HaLaila, he said something about Laila in a previous paragraph, but he says, you should try to get up in the middle of the night. Ki HaLaila, listen to this. Shehu HaChoshech HeEder HaDa'at. He says, what's the nature of night? You could define it in different ways, but the way that Rav Nosson chooses to define nighttime is Heder Hada'at. It's the time that you don't really know what is going on. Tula Mishnei Chalakim Shehem Chatzot HaLaila Rishon Chatzot HaLaila Sheni. Right, there is the earlier Chatzot and the later Chatzot Kemufa. Shehem kineged shtei hakushyot for now. Ki chatzot ha-laila harishon as ha-choshech v'hadin gadol biyoter. Kaz nimshach ha-choshech v'bchinat ha-kushyot she'en alem tshuva. Now this was a main pillar of the Breslov theology. Rav Nachman felt that there were questions that people might have. Why did God create the world? What does it mean that the world was created? What are we, how are we supposed to relate to the fact that the world was created? There were like these kind of questions that are very hard to answer. And Rav Nachman felt very strongly, and as does his Talmid, Rav Nachman felt very strongly that these questions are unanswerable. And that anyone who directs us to spend time trying to answer these questions is misdirecting his students. The greatest sinner in this regard, according to Rav Nachman of Bratslav, was the Rambam, Maimonides, who wrote a book called Moreh Nevuchim, the guide to the perplexed, in which he gives you, he enables you to think, Rav Nachman says, that these philosophical questions have an answer. But Rav Nachman felt, that the answer to the questions is faith, emunah. In other words, a person who has faith, this is Rav Nachman, right? I'll tell you Rav Nachman's position, a person who has faith is not put off or put down by a question. So there's a question. Everybody knows that there are questions that you can't answer yourself. Everybody knows that there are smarter people who can either ask smarter questions or give smarter answers. And therefore, Rav Nachman said, that it's educationally improper to involve the students, the children, the friends in these kinds of questions. What we should be working on is our emunah, assuming that everybody comes into the circle is quote-unquote a ma'amin on some level. You should try to become a ma'amin on a high level. I mean, what difference does it make what the questions are? And this notion was inherited by Rav Nosson. Look, it may be relevant today as well. It may be something to consider. Those of you who have to, you know, teach children or teach students, I mean, it's a thought. It's a thought. Where is the place of philosophical inquiry? Rav Nachman said, no place at all. It's all a mistake. It just creates confusion, distress, unhappiness. And what we're interested in is emunah. And you don't get emunah by answering a question. Because after you answer the question, there's another question. And therefore, the whole thing's irrelevant. The whole thing is irrelevant. Of course, today, it's a little difficult for certain people who find themselves in a society where questions are asked to just say, well, you know, I don't have that question. That's like not my question. I mean, somehow it's hard to do that, but the idea that Rav Nachman developed on this level is a very powerful one. So he says, in the third line, Shehen Keneged Shnei HaKushiyot HaNa'al, the two kushiyot are about the creation of the world, of course, and why there is doubt. Why the world was created with doubt. Chatzot Lai HaRishon, Chos Radin Gadol Biyoter. He says the first part of the night, the darkness comes from the fact that I have questions that I can't answer. That's the darkness. In other words, even though we know that the light and the darkness are somehow physics, nevertheless, we live in a metaphor, right? Our lives are a metaphor. Therefore, we won't always connect everything to us. Connect the sun to us, the moon to us, the stars to us, the day and the night to us. He says, look at the night. The night is divided into three parts. The first part of the night is about shutting out the light. What shuts out the light in our lives? The questions. The questions shut out the light. And then he says, Aznim Shaha, the fourth line, in the middle, Aznim Shaha, Choshim, Bishinat, Kushiyot, Shein Elam Tshuva. That's the power of the darkness. That's what the Rav Nachman said, and Rav Nosson said. There are questions that don't have an answer.
Is that why after the daytime Shabbat, the first word is Yitzin?
The first one?
The first word after the daytime Shabbat is Yitzin, and after the nighttime Shabbat is Emunah.
Emet v'yatziv, emet v'umunah? Could be.
The daytime is a stability that doesn't exist at night. We have to rely on emunah.
Well, I understand what you're saying. That's very good. Except I think that what Rav Nosson is saying is that the darkness of the first part of the night is a necessary result of the light. Because the light is not light. The light is where you have all the questions. You see all the questions. And that produces darkness. You get enticed by the questions. And that enticement produces the darkness of the night. And then he says, you see the fifth line towards the end? Al-Kain as Trichim Sheina. He says, that's why we have to go to sleep. Why do we have to go to sleep? Because we can't take the questions. The questions are driving us crazy. And since the questions are driving us crazy, we have to go to sleep. And he says, Atzichim Sheina, she is Malkut HaDaat. What is Sheina? Your mind stops working. Because nobody solves math problems while they're asleep. Even though there are these stories of people waking up with a solution to some problem. But that's not the way it works. You sleep, you sleep. You sleep, you put electrodes in your head and you see there's not that much activity. Right? Ki az tzichim salek da'ato ligamrei v'lismoch rak al emuna. So that life, day and night, is a metaphor for how we should live. And so Rav Nachman says, and Rav Nosson explains, everybody has questions. Everybody has questions. Everybody has problems. Everybody has something that's unanswered, whether it's about destruction or about terrible things that happened in history. Everybody has these questions. So you have to go to sleep. You have to go to sleep. What saves you from your own questions is the fact that you can go to sleep. Because when you go to sleep, there's no doubt. Your mind stops working. And when your mind stops working, you also don't have a question. I mean, the question, what kills us with the questions is that we can't answer them. It's not that they exist, but that we want to answer them. So he says, you go to sleep. He says, Al-Kain, Az-Shushim Sheina, Shu'is Talkut Adat. That's what Sheina is. Sheina is his Talkut Adat. Yes, Shushim Salek Dato Legamrei, L'smoch Rak Al-Emuna. Because at night, we learn that lesson. When we're asleep, that all there is emuna. All there is emuna. And emuna is the answer to the questions. In other words, you know something that is beyond the questions. If you are a ma'amin, then you know there's an answer to the question. You may not know the answer to the question, but what difference does it make? What difference does it make? So you won't win the debate. Right, but it's a little left to me. I mean, if I don't know why God did what God did, or why God allowed something to happen which happened, but I know that God gave us the Torah and wants us to keep the mitzvah, I know that. So I mean, the question becomes trivialized. You understand? It means I don't know something about God. Okay, I don't know something about God. But that doesn't impair my ability to be a ma'amin. That's Rav Nachman's position. Ki az tzrichim lesalek da'ato legamrei v'lesmoch rak al emuna shezel b'chinat sheina kanal. Al v'chatzot alayla nim takadim. But when you get to the middle of the night, things get better. V'az nitalki min adat. Eva kushiyot hanal v'az tzrichim lakum v'lasok b'torah v'avodah. And then you have to get up. The middle of the night, by the time the middle of the night comes, we've already divested ourselves somehow of all of these kushyot and problems that will come back again tomorrow. But right now they're gone. And therefore suddenly a person turns into a great ma'amin at that time. And since he's a great ma'amin at that time, it's important for him to start davening. Even though there's no particular davening that exists for that time of the night, you already daven Shakrit and Mincha and Arvit, there's no davening for Chatzot, but according to Rabbi Nosson, it makes sense that people should get up in the middle of the night and start davening because they have the greatest clarity at that time about their own faith and what it is and about their relationship to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Because after all, davening is those two things. Davening is an expression of what I want the relationship to be, and it's also an expression of what the relationship is, right? And those two things, according to Rav Nosson, are pivotal in determining. They're pivotal in determining what you should be doing with yourself. Okay, that's what Rav Nosson said. I think we've explained it. I think we understand. So Rav Nosson lived in the middle of the 18th century, and now we want to look at Rav Tzadok, what Rav Tzadok HaKohen says in a book that's called Yusisei Lailo, much of which is about Amalek and Purim, and those topics are very big topics in the book, in Ot Lamed Bet Aleph. Right, so in other words, Rav Nosson told us of something. I mean, the thing that relates to us in what Rav Nosson said, is that lack of da'at can sometimes be a positive religious state. Lack of da'at, according to Rav Nosson, enables me to develop my faith. There are no impediments. Nothing is stopping me and standing in my way. But I can I can sprout wings and fly in with emunah. It's da'at that stops me from doing that. I will add a footnote that Rav Nosson doesn't say, that, you know, the advantage, well, I'm not sure everybody would agree, but I say one of the advantages to studying Gemara over studying philosophy is that even if you don't come to a conclusion when you learn Gemara, there are no deep questions. It just produces complicated questions. It doesn't produce life questions. And so Gemara was a great success. I mean, the learning of Gemara, I'm not saying it's the only reason, like the other reasons as well. We have to learn Gemara to know what to do. But I'm saying learning Gemara is usually not about, doesn't create a crisis in your life. You know, if you learn that some ox gored another ox, so okay, you know, you can get through that. If you don't understand why this guy has to pay twice as much, I mean, you just go to lunch, right? It's not going to stop you from eating lunch. Even if there's something you don't understand, but if suddenly somebody says to you, no, maybe God never did it. You know, you're like, my whole world is shaken up. I think it's an advantage. I think it's an advantage why Gemara was chosen. As you know, by anyway, let's go on. Okay, Rav Tzadok HaKohen. Rav Tzadok in a book called Yusisei Laila has something to say that might interest us. So Rav Tzadok says this: Sefer Yusisei Laila Oz Lamed Bet. It's right at the beginning. Right at the beginning. For those of you who might be interested in looking it up, it's right at the beginning. Inyan Mishteh Hashverosh Shenizkar BeMegillah. Udrashot Chazal, Bol Vadai, Eino Davar Rik. So obviously there's a question that he's trying to deal with. And that question was, how come the Megillah mentions the Mishteh of Ahasuerus? I mean, Ahasuerus was with five or six psukim. I mean, okay, Ahasuerus made a party. Who cares? I mean, what do we have to do with Ahasuerus' party? This is like a question that Tzadok was dealing with. He says, since it's in the Eino Davar Rik, v'hu atzmo inyan mishteh purim achshav achar harifu'ah. And he says, you have to understand that this party that Ahasuerus had, remember we saw there were three parties? Ahasuerus made a party, then Esther made a party, and then Esther made another party. So he says, Tzadok, that when we make a party, right, we make a party on Purim, Nasotel Tam Yemei B'Shteh B'Simcha, the Megillah says. We have to make B'Shteh B'Simcha. He says, Inyan Mishteh Purim Achshav Achar Refuah. It was today, after the Jewish people were saved on Purim. Right, so we decided to commemorate that salvation by making a mishteh. Which mishteh were we commemorating, according to Rav Tzadok? He says, we were commemorating Mishteh Ahasuerus. It's like the Megillah says, Ahasuerus made a party, now you make a party. And the mishteh is the refuah that kadav lamakah, because why? Well, he explains why. The vaday b'dayam yushevet lo yoreg vashti, aye the mishteh. The perusho suda shel shikrut. So that's sort of the same pshat in our life. You say to somebody, how can we make a party on Purim? What's the party going to do with Purim? Okay, the Jews were saved, so they must have been happy, so maybe they made a party. I mean, what is the party? What's the mistake? You know, not Hanukkah. No Hanukkah? Comes up every year. You light little candles. Do you make a party on Hanukkah? Do you make a party on Hanukkah? Don't tell me about Hanukkah parties. We invite your grandchildren. Do you make a party at the Chiv of a Sa'uda on Hanukkah? No? Now, the salvation on Hanukkah was less than the salvation on Purim. Purim, we don't know who was saved. 400 guys here and 200 guys there. So what are you talking about? On Hanukkah, we had the Greeks, and we had the Hashmonaim. I mean, it's movies. Purim is also a movie, but they're a different kind of movie. So how come we make a big deal out of making a party on Purim? That's what Sodek asks. So his answer is very simple. Because the party saved the Jewish people. Just like we say Mordechai saved the Jewish people, and Esther had saved the Jewish people, so everybody should go hear the Megillah, right, men and women. Mordechai saved the Jewish people, Esther saved the Jewish people, goes up, Sodek says, and the party, that saved the Jewish people. Because what happened at the party? What happened to the party? Hashverosh got drunk. Because Hashverosh got drunk, so he cracked, and he went and he killed Vashti. Because he killed Vashti, so Esther was appointed queen. Because Esther was appointed queen, the Jews were ultimately saved. So of course, Rav Tzadok said, of course we're going to make a party. The party is like the Esrog on Sukkot. Like, it's the main thing. The main thing, what about Shikrut? Oh, that's a little bit different. What about Shikrut? How can we all get drunk? So they say, well, because the drunkenness saved Am Yisrael, according to Rav Tzadok. Because Ahasuerus got drunk, so he acted like a meshugadah. So, okay, I mean, it's a stretch. We say, therefore, in thanks to God for Ahasuerus's stupidity, we're all going to get a little drunk. We'll get a little bit drunk. So that's what Rav Tzadok says. And he says to Vadai, Kedad Mishi Yushevet, lo yoregel Vashti. If he was sober, he wouldn't have killed her. The Perisho Udash El Shikrut. He says that the word Mishteh, after all, comes from the word Lishtot. And what are they drinking? They're drinking wine and whatever else they were drinking. The Lachain Nikra Kola Sudal Shem Ashtiyah. Right? Ashtiyah Kadat. Ein Ones. That's what Rav Tzadok said. But Salah, Gam Kain Shalom Al Dat Mishevetu. Now, Agabi, in other words, Haman, was also done in by Yayin, right? Mishteh HaYayin, number two of Esther Hamoka. So I remind you again of the line in the Gemara, which is repeated in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Chayev Adam Lebesume. Chayev Adam Lebesume. Which means, you have to get shikar. Adelo Yoda, Bein Aruch Haman, LeBaruch Mordechai. Haman, let's say, synonym for Haman, Ra. Baruch Mordechai, a synonym for Mordechai, Tov. Right? Mordechai acted on behalf of the Jewish people. And Kiyum Mitzvot of the Torah. Then Esther, let's put Mordechai and Esther together. They're in the same boat. Aruch Haman, Ra. Baruch Mordechai, Tov. Chayav Adam Lebesume, Adelo Yoda, Bein, Tov L'Ra. Bein Tov L'Ra, meaning, as Rav Nosson says, on Purim, you have to get to the state, you have to get to the state where there are no questions. Tov L'Ra is one of the central questions that we have all the time. Madua Derech Hashaim Salecha. Shalu Kol Bogdei Baget. Who said that? You're right. Yirmiyahu Anavi. Madua derech, any kid in Israel knows the answer to that question. Madua derech Rishaim Salecha. How Yirmiyahu Anavi, not a man of little faith, but an extraordinary person. Madua, how come derech Rishaim Salecha? How come the bad guys always seem to do well? Shalu is shalom. Shalom kol bogdei beged. All the ones who turn away from God and the Torah, they seem to be happily at peace with themselves. How come? Tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. So what does it mean? Chayav adam l'bisumei, ad lo yoda, ben baruch, or homon l'baruch Mordechai. Until the questions that derive from the good and evil, they disappear. We get into a state that Rav Nosson calls choser deya, lack of understanding. And we see one of the lessons that derives from Purim is that when Ahasuerus lost his mind, he caused destruction in the land. He upset that which he was trying to build. And he was saved by appointing Esther queen. That's the drunkenness of Ahasuerus. But the drunkenness of the Jew, according to Rav Nosson, and that's why it's important to know about the parties, that's what Rav Tzadok says, the drunkenness, according to Rav Nosson, is the opportunity for greater faith. And everybody knows that Purim is the time of Kabbalat HaTorah number two. Kabbalat HaTorah, where the obvious presence of the Shekhinah is not there. But things happen in the world, and it's only through Emunah that you can interpret them as being the hand of God. If you're not a faith community, so you say, okay, Ahasuerus got drunk, and Haman's a bad guy, and they were fighting, and these guys fighting, it worked out. We snuck out of that problem, but Emunah does not allow you to say such a thing. And it's interesting. It's interesting that the in-between, that the drunkenness of Ahasuerus, in between the drunkenness of Ahasuerus and the drunkenness of Am Yisrael, the drunkenness of Ahasuerus being a lack of faith, and the drunkenness of Am Yisrael being losing your dot in order to sort of like soar to greater heights of faith, and in between are the four cups of wine that we drink on Pesach. How so? Because the four cups of wine of Pesach is when we turn the drinking of wine itself into specific matters of faith, which is Da'at. Like we return the Da'at to the... We don't get drunk on Pesach, but basically we say, Botzeiti, it's a story. V'hitzalti, it's a story. V'lakachti, v'heveiti, these are stories that we tell on the cups of wine. It was Pesach represents Shlita. Like we've grabbed onto it and we're able to use it for our advantage. We don't let the wine make us lose our minds, and yet we let the wine affect us as a faith community to higher achievement in faith. And so if you remember, it's not so late, but if you remember when we started, we mentioned the Gemara in Ta'anit. And the Gemara in Ta'anit says, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. And Rashi says, why Marbim Besimcha? Yemei Nisim Hayu Yisrael. Purim the Pesach. And we asked, what does Pesach have to do with Adar? So the answer that I propose is this. Pesach may have nothing to do with Adar at all. Yitziat Mitzrayim happened in Nisan. But the fact that the Chachamim were metakin, you have to be able to always distinguish between the mitzvot that are minat Torah and the mitzvot which are kind of add-ons. So the Arba Kosot, the four cups of wine that we drink on Pesach, are bidrabanan. Right? We divide up the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, which is an intellectual activity, by cups of wine, which are remove kushyot, and remove problems, and help us soar in emunah, but not, the cups of wine do not deprive us, don't deprive us of our da'at, of our understanding, quite the contrary. We have to integrate the wine and the da'at, so that the movement from Purim to Pesach causes us great simcha, because it reflects upon our ability to have faith and to be part of a faith community. And it doesn't only tell us that we were saved, but it also tells us somehow that in some way we deserve to be safe. I wish you all a good Shabbos, a happy Purim, wherever you'll be. If you're not in Yerushalayim, Purim starts tomorrow night. I mean, Motzei Shabbat, not tomorrow night. All the best. I assume everybody's out in Marv already, somehow. No? Is there a minion for Marv?